Let's just bow and have a short word of prayer before we just start the second session. Father, we just thank you for this time that we can share your word. We just thank you that you're speaking to us even today. And Lord, we just invite you again to teach us from your word. We thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you will have your way here this afternoon. And we just open ourselves to you, to be taught by you. Thank you that you guide us into all truth. So we just pray your blessing upon your word now. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, just in regards to the last session about dreams, every dream that we have has to always line up with the word of God. So everything that we have, everything that we hear, has to be backed up by scripture. So that's very, very important also, and we'll touch on that soon. I'm just going to go through just a few basic things that we probably know, but just to form a foundation that everything, whenever we hear God speaking to us, it's based upon scripture. And I just want to lay a foundation for hearing God speak through the word of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Now, again, as I said before, that many people in the church believe that God doesn't speak through dreams, but he does. Many people today think that God doesn't speak to us apart from the word of God, and he does. But the Bible is the revelation of God. The Bible is the revelation of the truth. God's truth has been revealed through the scripture. There's no more revelation about God that we can receive that doesn't come from the word of God. So God is speaking to us through that. But also we're going to learn and we're going to see through the New Testament that God is still speaking to us today by the Holy Spirit. So Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So the writer is saying, in the past God spoke through the prophets, but in these days God's spoken to us through his Son, through Jesus. So God has spoken through Jesus. The revelation of God only comes through Jesus. It goes on to say that Jesus is the express image of God. When we look at Jesus, we see what God is like. And Jesus said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So all the words that Jesus was speaking when he was on earth were the words of God. And Jesus himself said that what I hear my Father say to me, that's what I speak. Many times Jesus would say, I only speak what I hear my Father tell me. So Jesus was speaking the very words of God. But when Jesus ascended back to heaven, once he rose from the dead, how do we hear the voice of God today? Jesus has spoken. We have his words recorded in the New Testament. But we also have the rest of the scriptures. We have the Old Testament, we have the Gospels, and then we have the book of Acts, and then we have the rest of the letters in the New Testament. And Paul tells us in Timothy that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for us, for learning, for teaching, for rebuke, so that we might be perfect, and so that we might be prepared or equipped for every good work. So the reason God has spoken to us and we have this record is so that you and I might be equipped for good works, and that we might be complete or perfect. So God is speaking through his word. But also, as we look in the book of Acts, we see God continues to speak through the Holy Spirit. And in the Bible, we also read that God speaks through nature. In Psalms, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day, they utter speech. And every night, they show knowledge. And there's no place where their voice is not heard. So creation, God is speaking through creation. He's speaking about his wisdom, his power, his love. In Romans, Paul says that God speaks to us through our conscience. It's that voice inside, God telling us how we should live. Righteousness, righteousness. And he speaks through the scriptures. And then let's turn over to John, because Jesus said that someone important would come, and he would continue to speak to us. John chapter 14. So Jesus had, just before he was going to the cross, he gave his last instructions to his disciples, the most important. John chapter 14, verse 24 to 26. Jesus said, "He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." So Jesus is saying, even the very words I speak are not from me, they're from the Father. Verse 25, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you." So Jesus is saying, I've said these things while I've been here with you on earth. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is coming and he will teach you and he will bring to your remembrance the things I said to you. Go to chapter 16 of John. Chapter 16 and verse 13. Again, Jesus says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." So it says the Holy Spirit will speak, not on his own authority, and he will tell you. Now Jesus is talking to his disciples, not just the 12 disciples that he had, but every disciple that would come after him, that would follow in him and believe in him. So the Holy Spirit will continue to teach. Now teaching involves communication, it involves speaking. Jesus also said that he would tell you things to come, things in the future. So the Holy Spirit can tell us things, he can speak to us. So Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit. And then in the book of Acts, we see the church going out to continue the works of Jesus. And we spoke about that in the last session, that as we go to the book of Acts, the church, we see how the church is acting. And the church, again, is the body of Christ. It's Jesus, you and I, the body of Christ. Jesus continuing to do the things that he didn't finish. Acts chapter 1. Let's just turn there quickly so we can see that you and I are a part of this book of Acts. It's still going. Acts chapter 1. And this is the writer talking to the person that he's writing this letter to. Acts chapter 1 verse 1. He said, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." Now he's talking about the book of Luke. The person who wrote Acts was Luke. And he says, "Look, I've already written to you a letter, which is the Gospel of Luke. And those are the things that Jesus began to do and teach." But then we come into the book of Acts. And these are the continuing acts of Jesus that are done through his disciples. Again, when Jesus gave his disciples commandments, he said, go out, heal the sick, raise the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. That was the command, one of the commands Jesus gave. Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with you tongues. They will lay hands on the sick. They will recover. So what would happen if those disciples didn't obey that command? There'd be no church. We wouldn't see the works of Jesus being continued. They would have stopped with Jesus. So the disciples had the responsibility to continue those works. And as we come into the book of Acts, we see the church replicating the same works of Jesus. How did they do it? It was through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was the one who was going to speak to them. He was going to guide them. He was going to tell them things to come. He was going to instruct them in all things. So the Holy Spirit was absolutely vital for the church to be equipped, or to be created, we could say, to be equipped and to grow so that the rest of the world could know about Jesus. So the Holy Spirit came to teach us. And Romans chapter 8 verse 14, Paul says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So the Holy Spirit within us, now he's leading us as we seek to live out the kingdom of God and expand the kingdom of God. He's leading us. He's guiding us. He's speaking to us. This is something we want to look at. How does he speak to us? What does he say? How do we respond? In Acts chapter 8, let's just turn over there so you can see that what we're saying is biblically founded. Acts chapter 8. In verse 29, this is about Philip. Now, Philip was doing the work of an evangelist, and he went down to Samaria. God had done great works there. Acts chapter 8, verse 29 says, "Then the Spirit capital S, the Holy Spirit. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So there was a man there in a chariot, and the Holy Spirit wanted Philip to speak to that man. So it says, the Bible tells us, then the Spirit said. So the Holy Spirit speaking to Philip in the book of Acts. Again, many people don't believe that God speaks like this these days, even in the church. They think that we have the Bible and then everything is in the Bible. Yes, we have the full revelation of God regarding truth. There's no further revelation of God we can get apart from the Bible, apart from what we see in Jesus. But God continues to speak to us, to guide our lives, to direct us, to instruct us by the Holy Spirit. So it says, then the Spirit said. Turn over to chapter 10, we see it again. Acts chapter 10 and verse 19. Peter had just received a vision from God. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So it says the Spirit said to him. Again, there's guidance by the Holy Spirit. Turn over to chapter 11. Again, this is Peter. He just confirms what he heard. He says, chapter 11, verse 12, then the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, told me to go with them and not doubting anything. Turn over to chapter 13. I want you to have confidence that we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to us. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. And then it lists these certain men. In verse 2 it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So while they were ministering to God and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, and then he makes very clear instructions. There are two men here, I want them to work for me. So just like these men were wanting to serve God, they heard the Holy Spirit speak to them and give them specific guidance. This is for us today. The Holy Spirit hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. Turn over to Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. Now this is when a group with Paul were wanting to go out and begin missionary work. Acts chapter 16 verse 6 and 7. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Again, the Holy Spirit is giving them instructions regarding evangelism and regarding missionary work. And for us, as we seek to be evangelistic in our own area, or whatever ministry God has called us into, we need the Holy Spirit's guidance. We need His instruction. We need Him to tell us what to do, where to go, and how to do it. And here, at this time, it wasn't God's will for them to go into this country. So the Spirit said no, another time. I guess, you know, I named this this time of sharing, this is God speaking. And often, you know, a lot of us, we struggle, is that God? Was that God? I heard something, was that God or was that just me? You know, we've all had those thoughts. Maybe that was my own thoughts, you know. But we can have confidence that if we know that there's nothing between us and God, we're surrendered to Him, we're following Him, we're loving Jesus, that we have the mind of Christ, as Paul said. And many of the thoughts that come to us, they're not, many of the times, they're not our own thoughts, but God is giving us those thoughts. God is giving us those impressions to do certain things. And, you know, as I look through the scriptures, there's different men that we read of in the Old Testament where they also doubted God's voice. God spoke to them regarding ministry, regarding doing the work of God, and they questioned, God, is that really you? So let's just have a brief look at a few of those men. One is, let's turn to Judges chapter 6, and we'll have just a quick look at Gideon. God had chosen Gideon. God had seen something in Gideon, something in his heart, where Gideon had a desire to serve God. And so God chose to reveal himself to Gideon. Judges chapter 6, and we'll just read, instead of reading the whole story, we'll just read verse 17. So God had appeared to him, and then it says, then he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me." And then the angel gives him a sign. And then go to verse 36. Again, it says, "So Gideon said to God, 'If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said,'" and then he goes on to give God a test. So many times we think, was that God? Was that me? I don't know. God knows that sometimes we don't always hear him as we should. But God doesn't mind if we ask him, "Lord, was that really you? Was that you, or was that just my own thoughts?" And we can also, the Bible says we should tempt God, but we can say, "Lord, can you just confirm to me that that was you? I'm really not sure." And God will do that. And we'll look at some of the ways that he can do that. Another time was in Acts. We just read in Acts chapter 10, where God had given Peter a vision, and he saw this vision. And then it says, afterwards, Peter wondered what the vision was about. He didn't know what it meant. But immediately, the circumstances that came after confirmed that it was from God. People came to his house. Remember, we read that the Spirit said, "Three men are looking for you." So God confirmed that it was his will by the circumstances that followed. So many times, if we sense, "Oh, I think that's God doing something in my life. I think he's speaking to me. I think he's telling me to do something." One way that I always check whether it's God or not is first, I commit it to him. Psalm says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and your thoughts will be established." That's one way. "Lord, I think this is you. I commit the situation into your hands. If this is you, then I say, open the doors. Let it happen." Another example was last year I was invited to go to Fiji for a number of months and minister there. And when the opportunity first came, there was a lot of obstacles in my way. And I said, "God, if this is you, then remove all the obstacles. I'm not sure if it's you, but remove the obstacles so that I can go." And God just miraculously moved in many ways and allowed me to go. And once I got there, allowed me to stay miraculously. So providence or circumstances after God speaks to us can also confirm that's God. So another way that confirms that we've heard God's voice is that there'll always be a peace with it. There'll be no fear, there'll be no anxiety, but there'll be a peace. If there's no rest or no peace, then we need to maybe spend time praying about it, or even fasting to know that God has definitely spoken to us. I'll just share a few examples. Also, God speaking to us through his word. And how does God speak to us through his word? An example, recently, again, I was in Fiji. And one morning, I was just having my morning time of prayer and reading the scriptures. And I was reading Matthew chapter 10. And I'd been reading through the book of Matthew. And as I got down to verse 18, I think it was, it says, "You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them, to the Gentiles." Now, as soon as I read that verse, it was like that verse just jumped off the page at me. "You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake." And I realized there's something about this. It's like this verse is speaking to me. And so this is another way that God can speak to us as we read the scriptures. And that morning, Matthew came to pick me up and I said, "What are we doing today?" And he said, "We've been invited to speak on the radio." So I thought, well, maybe that's the answer to what this verse was. So we went, spoke on the radio, and that was great. But I still felt that there was more in this verse. I really felt that God had spoken to me through this, but I didn't know what it was for. And then 3 weeks later, through amazing circumstances, we were invited into the government in Fiji to speak with some of the leaders there. And that confirmed, this was, God had spoken to me this 2 weeks before, maybe 3 weeks before. And then here we were, invited into government to speak with one of the leaders of the Fiji government about how godly leadership should be involved in running a country. So God spoke to us again through his word, even before. And like Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will tell you things to come. He'll tell you things in the future. Another time when I was in Fiji, I was reading Luke chapter 5, which is about Jesus' disciples going out fishing. And Jesus says, Jesus had finished speaking, and he said to his disciples, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And when I read those words, launch out into the deep, it was like they just came alive to me. And I thought, God, are you trying to speak to me through this? What are you trying to say? And about 3 weeks later, I was launched into different circumstances, which for me were deep. It was like something I'd never experienced before. And so God was telling me beforehand, you know, I'm going to do something new in your life. And he spoke to me to prepare me for it. So these are some of the ways, as we read through the scriptures, and it's so important to spend time in God's word, and he'll speak to us in this way. And again, each of us are unique, so God speaks to us in a unique way, but he definitely speaks to us through his word as we read it. Okay. Again, sometimes, how does God speak to us? I use the word check. He puts a check in our spirits. Many times I've gone to do something that has not been God's will, and immediately when I've gone to do it, I've felt, that's not right. Again, that's God speaking to us. Now, we know that that happens whenever there's temptation or something we feel it. But sometimes it might be a good thing if we go to anything, if some new endeavor, something we want to do, it might even be for God. But God just might put that little no inside us. Just listen to that. Because many times, it's God speaking to us. And I can look back at my life in maybe three specific times when God had put that check and told me no. And I went ahead anyway and caused a lot of problems. So I should have listened, but I didn't. So I learned lessons from that. So that's another way God speaks to us. Again, God's words, whenever he speaks to us, it will always be in line with the word of God. It will always be in harmony with what God has put here. And let's just turn over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 17. And it says there, but the wisdom that is from God, or that is from above, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And James is saying, this is the wisdom that comes from God. When God speaks, when God reveals himself, when God is wanting to work, whatever comes from above has these characteristics. It's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle. And when God speaks to us, or if we sense that God is speaking to us, it will have these characteristics in it. And this is another way we can know it's from God. So everything that we think comes from God, we have to test it. Let's turn over to First John chapter 4. This is something that's very, very important these days. First John chapter 4, because many people say that they are speaking for God. And even the very words that I speak this morning, you have to test them with the Bible. Whatever I'm saying now, don't just accept it. You yourself listen to it. And then go home, get your Bible, and make sure what I'm saying is right. It's important. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So John is saying, you have to test every spirit. Because there are many voices in the world, even in the church, in the Christian church, there's many different voices, but they're not all from God. There's some crazy, crazy stuff happening in the church, and it's not from God. And yet many Christians listen to it, and they say, well, this is God speaking. But it doesn't line up with what we read in the Bible. And I'll just give you an example of that. As we talked about dreams before, there was a supposed move of God in America about 4 years ago, or maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And this man said he had this dream of this angel. And he said that this angel gave him a certain message. And it was important for the people that he ministered to believe in the angel. He said it was important for everyone who followed him to believe in the angel. Now, immediately, if we go to the Bible, Paul says, if anyone comes to you and brings a different gospel, even if it's an angel of God, do not accept it. The amazing thing is that tens and tens of thousands of people went from all over the world to that church in America to listen to this man. Tens and tens of thousands of people. And there was some crazy stuff happening in that place. It was unbelievable. In the end, That man had divorced his wife, and while he was ministering to those people, he was having an affair with his secretary. But all these people were going to it because they believed, look at this great man of God, he's saying these great things. But John says, test the spirits. Test everything you hear with the word of God. Now, I could say maybe many of those people weren't reading their Bibles. Because if they were, they would have said, what's he saying? What is God saying? No, that's not pure. That's not peaceable. We have to test the spirits and any voice that comes to us. Paul tells us in Thessalonians, we should test all things. And don't despise prophets. We don't despise prophesying, but we test all things and we hold fast to what is pure. So anything that is not pure, we just dismiss it. But whatever is pure, we hold it fast. We take it on board. And if we need to, we pray about it more and ask God to give us an understanding of what's been said. Many times God's voice is just an impression. It's just a quick thought that comes. You should do this. Or pray for that person. Or say this. And again, it's being led by the Spirit, as Paul says. As we're surrendered to the Holy Spirit, every day we can say, Lord, I want to be led by you today. I want to hear your voice. I want to know what you're saying to me. So it can be just an impression. It can just be a thought. I remember a few years ago, as an example, I was in my car one day and I'd stopped at the lights and I had a reasonably fast car and I used to pull off quickly. This is when I was young. So I used to pull off quickly from the lights and I was still young. Yeah, I'm still young. I have one friend here. So as the lights turned green, I heard the still small voice, don't pull out fast. And I thought, it was so clear. I thought, oh. So I didn't pull out fast like I normally do. I waited about 2 seconds, and then I slowly began to pull out from the line. A split second later, a car went through an intersection at about 60 kilometers per hour. If I had pulled out fast, it would have cut me and my car in half. And yet, there was just that little impression, don't pull out fast. And so, these are other ways. We've all had these things. We've all had God speaking to us. But this is how he speaks at times. Another experience regarding evangelism. I was on Queen Street one day. There were 3 young men. And I was talking to these young men. They'd never heard about Jesus before. And so I was just telling them. They were very interested. And there was a man sitting on the seat behind me. Behind him. And he was a homeless man. And as I was talking to these boys, he started to blaspheme the name of Jesus. And cursing Jesus' name. And it was distracting these boys. I continued to talk to the boys. After about 3 minutes, this man came up, stood right beside me, and kept blaspheming the name of Jesus while I was talking to these 3 men. And I just kept talking to them. And then all of a sudden, God said, when he opens his mouth again, tell him to be quiet. It was very clear. When he opens his mouth again, tell him to be quiet. Because this was Satan trying to stop these boys from hearing about Jesus. So he opened his mouth again, and I turned around and I said, in the name of Jesus, be quiet. And the 3 boys got a bit of a shock. But this man's mouth shut, and he walked away, and he just sat down, and never said anything again. So when we're out, in whatever way we're witnessing, whatever way we're spreading the kingdom of God, if we're open to God's guidance through supernatural means, by the Holy Spirit, then he will guide us. He will tell us what to do. When problems come, he will tell us what to do. And that's how we can be more effective in winning people and spreading the kingdom of God. Other ways, especially for evangelism, God gives us words of knowledge and gives us words of wisdom, gives us discerning of spirits. This is what we can say. It's the hidden knowledge. It's supernatural. We can't understand it, but God speaks to us. He tells us something about this person. This person has this sickness. This person needs prayer for this thing. And those are ways in which you and I, in whatever area of life we're in, if we're just ministering to our neighbors, ministering to our families, God will tell us something about them, and then we know how to deal with it. So the way that God speaks in that means is for a tool. It's a tool for evangelism. It's a tool for, as Paul says, speaking to the hearts of people and revealing the secrets of people's hearts so that they can acknowledge that God is with us. So words of knowledge, it's, you know, some people think, well, that's just for pastors, for teachers. No, it's for every believer. The gifts of God for every believer. And so Paul says we should covet the best gifts. He says, I want you to prophesy above everything, but covet the best gifts. And we can covet all the gifts of God. Discerning of spirits, everything, healing, miracles. And God wants those gifts to be working in our lives because they bring the expression of the kingdom of God on earth. And through those tools, Jesus is glorified because Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will glorify me. And so it's the Holy Spirit who gives us the words of knowledge, gives us that wisdom. So we can ask God, if we're not experiencing these things, let's ask God for these gifts. God will bring them into our lives when we need them at the right time for God's kingdom to be advanced. Let's just turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hearing God's voice. Again, when I first knew Matt, if I heard his voice in the crowded room, if I heard him, I wouldn't know who he was. But these days, if I had my back to him, and I heard a whole lot of people talking, and then I heard Matt's voice, I know it's Matt. Because we have a relationship with him now. We have a friendship. And as we develop our friendship with God, through prayer, through spending time with him, we become more sensitive to his voice, because we become closer friends with him. We learn to hear what his voice is, we understand it, and we recognize it. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. The writer is talking about how we grow in the word of God, but he gives us a very good principle here. Hebrews chapter 15, verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So God wants our senses, our spiritual senses, to be exercised so that we can discern good and evil, so that we can discern what God is saying to us. But exercise is something that, it's an act, it's something that has to be done. The more you do something, the more you lift weights, your body is exercised, your body grows physically. So we need opportunities to grow in this also, and the more we do it, the more our senses, our spiritual ears, you could say, are developed so we can hear what God is saying to us. So often I pray for opportunities. Lord, I want someone to pray for today. I want to meet someone. I want to have an opportunity to do something for you. And the more we do it, the stronger we grow, and the more our senses become exercised to know what God is saying to us and what he wants us to do in certain situations. Because as evangelists, each of us, we need that. How God wants to work in this situation. What does he want to do? We need that wisdom from him. Let's just turn to Acts chapter 9. This is a great example of someone just like you and me. His name was Ananias. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. And this is just a very practical, very simple story. And what happened just prior to this verse is that Saul had had an encounter with Jesus. Saul had seen Jesus. And then verse 10 says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. And he received his sight at once and he rose and was baptized. This is an amazing story because it doesn't say there was a certain pastor. It doesn't say there was a certain teacher. It doesn't say there was a certain prophet. It says there was a certain disciple. He was just a normal disciple. He was a normal person. And yet we read he received a vision from God. He was led by the Spirit of God. He heard God speak. He healed the sick because Paul's eyes were opened. He led Paul to salvation. He baptized Paul in water, and he prayed so that Paul might be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So this simple believer did all these, we could say, amazing things. He received a vision. He heard God speak. He was led by the Spirit. He led someone to the Lord. He baptized someone, and then he prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit, and he was just a certain disciple. And God has put this in there to show us we don't have to be pastors or teachers or prophets. We just have to be certain disciples who are praying, and God will bring about opportunities like this for you and I, wherever we are. Maybe Paul was, maybe Ananias was a farmer, and maybe he was having morning tea. Maybe God gave him a vision. But the thing is, he was praying, he was listening for God's voice, and God used this one simple disciple to change history. Because Paul's life changed history. So you and I, God's called us to change history as well, because the book of Acts is not finished. If you go to the last chapter, well, don't go, but if you read the last chapter of the book of Acts, it just ends quite quickly. Because the book of Acts is a biography. It's a biography of a person. It's the biography of Jesus. You and I, the expression of Jesus. Now, if you read, let's say we had a biography of President Obama. If we read that and finished it, when we finished, because we know he's not dead yet, we'd be thinking, well, what happened next in his life? Wouldn't we? We'd think, well, we've come up to this point in his life. I wonder what happened next, because he's still alive. When we read the book of Acts, it just stops, because you and I are still here. The book of Acts is still being written by you and I, because these are the things that Jesus is continuing to do in his church through the Holy Spirit, through you and me. So you and I are called to continue this same thing. That's who we are as the church, to reveal the works of God. Ananias was a person who was sensitive to God. He was spending time in prayer, and because of that, his senses were exercised to discern God's voice. He knew this vision was from God. He knew the voice was from God. And then he knew to pray to receive the Holy Spirit. And he had the senses exercised to know that God would heal him, because he was a man of prayer. So this is my encouragement, especially for each of us today. You and I are just like Ananias. God can do anything through each of us. Anything. Nothing is impossible for God through you. Nothing. If we're led by God and we're listening to him, we do what he says, he'll open up things we've never dreamed of. So that's my encouragement. Very simple, but founded in the Word of God. We have received the Holy Spirit from God. He's leading us. He's guiding us. He's speaking to us all the time. We just need to be listening, obedient to what he says. God will work it.